So it's been an electrifying new year already, and as I told you last week, we are now 3 weeks into a series that I never planned for. We have not touched the New Year's series called Living in Denial. We're getting there. We're going to start that. We're going to get into that not next week because I got something I want to speak next week in regards to what's going to be taking this place this week in our government. So I want to touch base with some things next week, but we want to get back to, we want to get to, not back to, we want to get to our series for the year called Living in Denial. And so we will start that on the 31st of January. I'm excited about that. And so again, now for these past 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of January, we've been on something that I didn't plan for, but something that I believe that the Lord has me speaking because of where we are at this year. And I believe because of a hunger that the Lord is placing in the heart of our church. I can't speak for every other church. I pray that it's happening in them as well. But I do know that I sense that God is doing something different in Abundant Living this year. And so I'm excited about that. And so we've been talking about fire and electric and just these things that get us pumped. And the first message was all about the Lord firing it up. That was the title of the message. That became the title of the series, this 3 week series that I did not know I was going to be speaking. But the first message was all about God firing it up. This is us asking him to get us out of the rut that we have of just going through the motions of life this new year, that we would dare to step up in 2021 and follow him fully, fully committing our lives fully to him this year and saying, God, we're going to serve you no matter what. We're going to walk with you in a deeper way. Fire it up, God. Fire up our faith. Fire up our actions. Fire up our trust in you. Lord, just do it all. That we would dare to step up, that this is God firing up our faith, as I just said, that we would put away those doubts, that we would put away those fears from the past, and that we would look to him totally for the future and trust in him totally for the things that we're going to be going through and seeing him move in those things, that we would be able to trust him fully, even in what we're facing right now, that against all odds, understanding that all you need is the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm here to tell you today. If you hear nothing else, hear this, that in the midst of everything that you are going through, all that you need is Jesus Christ. Knowing that he will be with you in the toughest of your situations, and we will not, because of this, we will have the faith not to have a watered-down faith, but a faith that is alive, a faith that is active, and a faith that is moving, and a faith that is bringing us to a place that God wants us and needs us to be. And then last week, we carried it a little further by talking about us grabbing onto, and this was the picture I gave you, grabbing onto a live wire. If you've ever touched, hopefully you haven't. I know some of our men work with electricity, work around electricity, so I know they've been shocked. Probably Brother Kevin, probably Brother Pablo, and others who deal with this type of stuff, probably Brother Dave can relate to this. It's like touching a live wire. That's the picture that I got. But our live wire is of the Spirit of God, not a live wire of electricity within a wall or hanging from a girder or something like that. We said that it is a power that changes our life forever. And we looked at three men. With Moses, it was a countenance change. Moses grabbed the live wire of God and it changed his countenance. He shone with the Shekinah glory of God. With Jacob, we said it was a new identity. God gave him a new identity, and not only a new identity, but a new way of walking in that identity. And then our last person that we looked at last week was with Paul, and we said that it was with a new ambition for life. Paul lived with a new ambition. He lived with a new calling in life, and he lived with a new celebration of what was really important to life. And I think that's really what God's bringing us to church this year. I believe that our church is going to celebrate things that are going to be different than what we celebrated last year or what we celebrated in years past. Perhaps we celebrated God doing this, or we celebrated God doing that. Those celebrations are going to change because I believe that God is going to show us things that are different, things that are mean different things to us. In other words, maybe our success of a church isn't going to be looked at the way that we used to look at success in a church. And so we're going to celebrate differently at the end of this year, saying, wow, look what God has done. We would have never celebrated this before, but we're celebrating it today because we believe that God is showing us that this is important to where we are and to who we are as a people. And then I closed last week with the statement that we all need to be touched by the live wire of the Holy Spirit this new year. And I pray that you believe that. I pray that you are praying for that. I can tell you this, our people that are in our 21 day of prayer and fasting, they are praying for that and believing for that. And what I didn't say, but I think that you were able to deduce out of that message, was that we all need to be electrocuted by the power of God this year. We all need to be set on fire by the power of God this year. And so that's what I've been talking about. That's what I've been referring to. It's been a sidestep to where we're going. It definitely, these three messages are definitely going to be a part of living in denial, but I just never saw them coming about the way they did. But I'm so thankful to God who does these things and who directs my heart in these things. And so in bringing this series to a close, I want to go back to something that I referred to in both messages, both of the previous messages, but I feel still needs a little more development. And that is the altar of God in our life. That's what I want to talk about today, because if you've listened to the last two messages, it's the one thing you've heard me say, church, we need to build the altar of God. We need to rebuild the altar of God in our lives. And I want you to know, when I talk about the altar of God in our life, we do not have to build stone altars in our backyards. So do not go buy a case of a river rock or anything like that. Don't go piling rock up in the backyard or the front yard. We don't need to do that. That is not what I'm referring to. We are not required to have holy shrines erected in our living rooms. Matter of fact, if you have a holy shrine in your house or around your house, get rid of it. You don't need it. Those are the high places. Those are the places that God demanded his people to tear down. We're going to look at that in just a second as well. And so we're not required to build altars in our backyards. We're not required to have shrines in our living rooms. Our altar is not wood. Our altar is not stone. But our altar is a life that is totally consecrated to the Lord. That's what I'm speaking about today. A life that is totally consecrated to the Lord. Our altar is the cross of Christ, where the final sacrificial lamb was laid out and given and sacrificed for our sins. That is our altar today. And we find that altar, I believe it's a verse that I went into last week. I might not have touched on it. I had it in my notes, but I'm not sure. But anyway, whether I did or not, we're going to go there today. And it's over in Hebrews 13, verses 10 to 16. And once again, Lord, just add your blessing to your word. Let it have life for us today and open the mysteries of it so that you can open our lives to understand and move in the things that you are calling us to. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now, remember, Paul here is saying that in Hebrews, Paul is giving us a better picture of this new high priest. And so he starts out with this first verse. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. In other words, it's a better altar than the one that the people knew. It was a better altar because it wasn't one that the priest could take the food from and eat. The priests were allowed certain segments of the sacrifice that were put upon the altar. That's how they were fed. That's how they were taken care of. Well, they do not have a right from this altar, because this altar that Paul is talking about and laying out, this better altar, is the altar of the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's move on. Verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, as I said, God is not requiring us to build a physical altar to burn our sacrifices upon. God is not requiring us to build a shrine within our houses to burn our sacrifices upon. But God has required us to have a spiritual altar where we can continually offer the sacrifices of praise to our God. Paul even likens here the cross of Christ, that the cross was taken out of the city of God. Remember, anything that was done that required death was done outside the city limits. You could not have death within the city. So they had to go to the temple. They had to go to the synagogue. They had to offer the sacrifices there at the temple. Once that altar was broken down, they could not offer the sacrifices any longer. The final sacrifice was made on a cross outside the city walls. And so he says for us to go out there to bring our reproach, to bring our sin, to bring our brokenness, lay it at the cross of Jesus, and to look for the new city. What's that new city? It's the new city of spiritual worship, where there will never have to be another sacrifice. There will never have to be another death, because Christ already paid that. It's very important that we see this today, this imagery that Paul has given to us, because we are not required to build another altar. We are not required to go build another sacrifice. We have already given the sacrifices of our lives. We have laid them down when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so now we have been required, I think I showed you this last week, that we are living sacrifice. Amen? That we have been given as a living sacrifice, one who lives to lay down their life over and over and over again. And Paul says, I need to do that daily. That's what Paul says. Now, in Hebrews, Paul tells us that we have a better system of worshiping God. One of those systems, as I've already said, is our better form of sacrifice. Our sacrifice, who was Christ, was once and forever. No longer does another sacrifice have to be given. Through his blood, we have access to him at any time. That's what this altar of God in our life is about. The free access that we have to Christ, using it and moving in it and living in it and making sure that it is a part of our daily lives. So let me ask you, church, brothers and sisters, what you are doing to use that access that Jesus paid such a high price to give us. What are you doing to come into the presence of God each and every moment of each and every day, to spend your life in the presence of God? Do you truly understand at the start of this new year, listen to me, that you have the ability to come before God at any time? I mean, any time. You know, and that ability, listen, is not just so that you can bring your need before him. God loves our needs. He loves his people to bring his needs before him, but he wants us to come before him when we don't feel that we have a need, when we don't sense our need, when we think that things are going. Will you spend your life before him in all things, and not just in those times when the doctor tells you that you're sick, not just in those times when the boss tells you that you're on thin ice, not just in those times when the spouse has an argument with you, or the children are mad at you, or something's happening else, you know, in some other relationship? Will you spend your time with God in all things? That's what this personal altar is all about. I'm so glad that I have access to the throne room of God when things aren't going right. I'm so glad that I can come before him and say, Jesus, I have a pain. Jesus, I have this. Jesus, this is happening in my life. God, I come against it. I raise up a standard of your blood against it. I take authority in Jesus' name against this thing. I'm so grateful for that. I love that. But what do I do with the access that I have been granted when things are pretty good? Do I just go about living life the way it normally gets lived? And not worry about Jesus, not focus on Jesus? Because, you know, I'm sure you could shake your hands and say, no, Pastor, we don't do that. But let's be honest, we all of us do. When things are good, sometimes God gets forgotten. When things are great, sometimes we don't even pray. We don't even lift a, you know, oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, great. That's great that we praised him and thanked him. But did we really just spend time with him and say, Jesus, thank you for what you do and the way that you do it? And I just want to get into your presence today. That's what all three of these messages have been about so far, if you've not been listening or I've missed what I'm supposed to be saying. Taking full use of the advantages that have been afforded to us through the sacrifice of our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. What I've been referring to over the last couple of weeks, as I've spoken in the terms of electricity and fire, is the full and true presence of God active in our lives. And church, that only happens at our personal altar with Jesus Christ. You're only going to feel the presence of God. You're only going to know the presence of God fully in your life when you put yourself into a prayer closet, into a place where you can be alone with God, into a place where you can spend time with God. When I tell you to construct an altar in your life, that's what I'm referring to. I'm encouraging you to come to a place in your life that is a place of true worship. And I want you to know today, if you're going to come into a place of true worship this new year, then it's always going to involve three things. It's going to involve surrender, it's going to involve sacrifice, and it's going to involve service. Let me say it again. You might want to write these three S words down. Surrender, sacrifice, and service. And I want to expound on these three things today and talk about these three things. Surrender, sacrifice, and service. And so I've already said it, but let me say it again to make my main point today. The altar is a place of consecration. That is the surrender and the sacrifice. The altar is a place of consecration. When I talk about consecration, I'm speaking of the act of making or declaring something to be sacred. So when we say, it's mostly done at the church, this is a holy moment. This is a holy time. This is a sacred time. What we are doing is we are consecrating something. The priest, the high priest, had to be consecrated. If you read the Old Testament in Leviticus, you'll see all the steps that had to be done so that the high priest could be made the high priest. There was blood put upon his earlobe. There was blood put upon his big thumb. There was blood put upon his big toe. There was anointing oil that was poured over his head. There were certain clothes that he had to wear. These all made a consecration. They set this man apart for God. The tribe of Levi was set apart, was consecrated to be the priests and to be the worshipers of Israel that led the people of Israel into the holy place and led the people of Israel into the presence of God. And so in this case, I'm referring to our lives, this altar that I want to encourage you to build this year in your home. It needs to be an altar of consecration where your life becomes consecrated for the things of God. It becomes set apart. It becomes sacred to the purposes of God. As we looked at last week, in all three examples, it is a place of personal encounter with God. All three men that we looked at last week came into a personal encounter with God at different places and at different stages of their lives, but we saw the effects of those things and the way that God touched each and every one of their lives, and I encourage you to experience each and every one of those as well. My brothers and sisters, God wants us to spend more time in his presence. Because, my brothers and sisters, God wants to spend more time with you this year. Let me say that again. God wants to spend more time with you this year. Actually, it's not just this year. God has always wanted to spend more time with us. But let us just purpose this new year to make sure that that happens. Amen? Let us this year, 2021, purpose that God, we're going to give you the desire of your heart. We're going to let you spend more time with us. And that sounds actually proud, right? Arrogant, pretty arrogant. But it's the truth. We have stopped God from spending time with us. Our busyness, our fear of life, our fear of the things that are going on in our world have caused us to limit God's time with us. That should not be. Just as we have freedom through Jesus Christ to come before God at any time, God should always have the freedom to come into our lives, and we block that. And so let's say for 2021, this year, at least as our church body, let's say it this way. God, we're going to give you free reign in our lives, in our services, in our agendas, in everything that we do. We're going to give you free reign, God. I think Toby Mac sings the song that I can't even remember the name of it, but it talks about God having coming in and taking over his show. And I think that song is so true. It's about time that we give God the right to just come in and take our show. We have run our show for way too long, church, and we're seeing the effects of it in our lives, in our homes, in our children's lives, in our own lives. And I think it's about time to ask God to come in and wreck the show if he wants to, but to come in and take it over, commandeer it if he needs to. But let's give it to him. Listen, what I'm saying is this. It's your choice with what you will do with each day. What are you going to do with each moment of each and every day? But isn't it time to begin to set aside time to come to your personal altar in life? To say, God, I'm going to spend this much time with you and more. God, it's not even going to be about this much time. This is what I'm going to start with because this is where I need to start to make sure that it happens. But I pray, God, that I get so lost in your presence. I pray, God, that I get so lost in just who you are and what you are that I would lose track of hours of the day being in presence with you. And I'm going to read your word, Lord, as I've never read it before. And I'm going to worship you in song and in spoken praise. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to communicate with you. And I'm going to pray expecting you to answer me, not just pray that you hear me. God, do this in my life. God, do this in my daughter's life. God, do this in my son's life. God, do this in the life of my wife or my husband. God, do this, 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 or this. No, no. But it's going to be, God, I'm just going to spend time with you. And as I talk with my best friend about nothing, you know, my buddy Tony or any one of my brothers from the church, we can call one another and talk. And it's really, sometimes it's just about nothing. It's just, hey, what are you doing today? Hey, you know, what happened in your day today? My wife and I go through these conversations. And you know what? Those conversations just persist and go on because it's about life. And that's what God wants. God wants to spend time with you today. So let's put away those things. Let's consecrate our lives afresh and anew this year to make that time for him. Philip Yancey, I'm going to be talking a lot about idolatry. And we're going to get to that in a minute because I think it's important when we see, especially a place called Shechem, which I'll get to in a minute. But Philip Yancey says this. Philip Yancey's a writer, a Christian writer. He says, when God rebuked the Israelites for their idolatry, he was not condemning their urge to worship. God loved their urge to worship. I'm adding that. If I look up at the camera and I'm not reading, that's my addition to what Philip Yancey said, okay? God loved their passion to worship. Nor did he disapprove of the more immediate urges that push them toward idols, a desire for fertility for children, a desire for good weather, a desire for military success, all of these things that drove Israel to idols. God wasn't telling them that they shouldn't have done that. He wasn't. Rather, Philip Yancey goes on, he condemned them for seeking those things from senseless hunks of wood and iron instead of from himself. Did you get that this morning? What God condemns in our lives today, what God is condemning in our church this new year, are those things that we have relied upon other things for. Our other gods, our other idols, our other trusts, everything that we've trusted in beside him. God says, I'm condemning that. I'm not condemning the urge for those things. I'm not condemning your desire for those things. I'm condemning the fact that you're seeking those things over me. Come on, church, we got to get this today. This is important. There are so many things that we're seeking things from rather than just going and spending time with God at the personal altar of our life and giving it all to him. Isn't it time that God's people, me and you, have a fresh encounter with our God? Come on, it's time. Isn't it time that we make time to spend in his presence, to learn of his ways? Yes, it is. And some of you will say, well, Pastor, I've got that. Yeah, but come on, all of us. I don't care how much you spend in the time with the Lord right now. All of us could say we could be much more fruitful in that area of our lives. And we could make a greater commitment to doing those things. It's just getting up and making it happen. This can no longer be something that we just talk about. This can be no longer a resolution of a new year that we say, hey, we're going to do this. This must be something that we live out. We must build this altar now. And it needs to be the altar of Shechem. Why is Shechem so important? Turn there with me, Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. I want you to see something about Shechem. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Morah, and the Canaanites were there in the land, or then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Shechem is the shoulder. It means shoulder, okay? Shoulder, it's the place where we carry our burdens, right? We put backpacks on. What do the backpacks hang on? Yes, they hang on the back, but they hang on the pack via the shoulder. We put, many times people don't even put the both straps on a backpack. What do? They sling it over their shoulder. A shoulder is the place where we carry our burdens. I want you to see what happens at Shechem. Let's read on. Genesis 35, verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. Okay? Jacob is going to meet God with the people, with his people. Before they go and do that, he tells them to clean their tents of all of their idols and anything that was idolic worship. Now, I don't know why they just didn't destroy them. That would have been the right thing to do. But apparently they still had a mindset that they were going to come back and get those gods. So we still see the part that these gods had in their lives. But for the meantime of Jacob going to meet with God, he takes those things and buries them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem, which was by the shoulder, the place where we bear our burdens. Now, we might miss the significance of that thing happening that Jacob did if we didn't see that it happens almost identically again in the future. So this doesn't happen just one time at Shechem. This happens again at Shechem. And for that, we go over to Joshua 24, where the people of God are about to take the promised land. Joshua is going to lead the people in. And in Joshua 24, 23 to 26, we read an event that is very similar to what Jacob did in Shechem that Joshua does at Shechem. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So just as Jacob had done with his people, Joshua does with this nation of Israel. They take their idols, they bury them. I'm not sure if they buried them under a tree at Shechem, but they deal with them at Shechem. And so just as Joshua dealt with the idols, just as Jacob dealt with the idols at Shechem, so did Joshua deal with the idols for the people of Israel. He did the same thing. That's significant, wouldn't you say so? If it's happening twice at Shechem, isn't Shechem the shoulder, the place where we bear our burdens? Isn't that an important place for you and I to come to? Here is what I believe in 2021. Listen to what I believe the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, church. I believe that as we come daily to our personal altars, and as we begin to worship the Lord, and we begin to encounter the live wire and the fire of his holy presence, I believe that he is going to begin to reveal the idols in our lives that need to be buried at Shechem, that he's going to begin to take the burden off of our shoulders, that he's going to begin to tell us to bury it in the blood of Jesus and in the person of Jesus Christ and never deal with it again. And I believe that as you're entering to prayer this new year, those of you that have entered in with Kim and I these 21 days of prayer and fasting, I believe that we are to look for him as God begins to point out our personal interests, such as television, such as computers, such as sports, such as people that we idolize or relationships that we idolize or anything else that has become an idol in our lives. And I believe that there needs to be coming out of away from these things, a burying of these things. And I believe that God is leading us into a greater focus toward him, toward his power, and toward the things that he has for us this year. So don't be surprised if you enter into prayer this year. Don't be surprised that as you build this personal altar in your life of praise and worship, that you're going to see God begin to point his finger at things in your life that need to go. Yes, it's going to hurt, but I guarantee you it's going to be well worth the sacrifice and the consecration that God wants of our lives. Arthur Wallace, who was a biblical teacher, I believe he died in the late 80s, he said this: when a relationship with a friend or a loved one is causing the spiritual life to wane, we may suspect that that one has become an idol. When we are seeking first our business interests and vainly supposing that God will add to us the things of his kingdom, when in fact we are more concerned and anxious about material prosperity than spiritual prosperity, we should examine ourselves as to whether we are not joined to idols. I think that would be some great wisdom for each and every one of us. If these things are in the ways, let's come to Shechem. Let's build that personal altar of worship and praise to our God, and let's bury those things and never look back to them again, but always look forward to our God and to his presence working in our lives. The second thought I want to share today is this: the altar is a place of family worship. The altar is a place of family worship. I believe this year that the Lord is going to increase our time of corporate worship and prayer. I believe that just a couple weeks ago on a Monday night, our men experienced something in a prayer on Zoom. On Zoom, it wasn't even live, that we had not experienced in a lot of months in our prayer times at the church. Something had broken. There was something with that message firing it up that is going to continue through this year that God is going to do. And I'm going to make sure that as I speak, I keep that message in my heart alive, because I believe that God is wanting to speak something. We are told in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to share with you next week why I believe the return of Christ is very soon, why this new president and why these things that he's going to usher in so quickly. And if you haven't heard anything already, on the day of his taking over office, President Biden has said that he's going to issue over 100 new, whatever they're called, new laws or whatever they are. I forget the term. Sorry about that. In the first day, in one day, he's going to do that. Why is he moving so quickly? Well, I'm going to share that with you next week, and the spirit that is coming against America. And please tune in next week, because you need to hear this. And hopefully we won't get taken off of Facebook or YouTube. I'll try to keep my words very clear and very concise, and maybe not mention names and things like that, because who knows, the way this media is the way today, they have such control over what's going out there. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. I believe the church this year is going to be driven to a place where we are praising God together, worshiping God together, and praying together in a greater dynamic. I believe a lot of that is going to come from the new government that is going to be coming into America. I believe that with all of my heart. They're going to chase us to prayer, because I believe, church, we are going to have to fight tooth and nail for anything, any rights that we're going to have to work in our community anymore, or anything. The freedoms that we had are gone now. And I'm going to tell you what, it is not going to be a very glorious time for the church, yet it's going to be a most glorious time, because God is going to work. How many are glad today that God is over the government of the United States and over any other world government? And so, but I believe, church, we're going to have to claw and scratch for anything that we're going to be able to do in our community. And I believe we're going to see this happen very quickly in America. The freedoms that we have right now, very quickly, are going to be removed from us. I believe that with all of my heart. I'll give you proof of that next week. So here's the deal, though. Here's where I'm getting at, because I just said the altar is a place of family worship, okay? We cannot have the family worship at the church if you are not having family worship at your home. Let me say that again. We cannot have family worship and prayer at the church if you are not having family worship and prayer in your home. Where is the family altar in your home? Does your spouse know that it exists? Do they know where it's at? Do your kids know where it's at? When you go into the place that you go to pray, do your children know, hey, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, they're going into the presence of the holy God? Do they know that? Do they understand that? You know, it's really a shame. The kids know how to turn on the TV with no problem. I have a grandson who's 3 years old and can turn on the TV, can turn on his, my son just got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. He can turn that on. He can go to YouTube on that Switch and find the movies that he wants. Okay. Our kids know how to turn on the TV. They know how to work the computer. They know how to work the family video game system. They know how to speak to Alexa. They know how to speak to Siri, but they have no idea how to get a hold of God in their lives, in their homes. None. They have no idea how to get a hold of God in their bedrooms. They have no idea that their bedroom should be a Bible college. They have no idea that their bedroom should be a place of prayer. My brothers and sisters, we are failing our children as parents who believe in Christ. We want to give them the best things in life, but we seldom do enough to give them the best, that being the relationship with God. We give them everything else. We make sure they have everything else they want. Man, we bend over backwards. But we're not providing an altar in the family home for them to come to, for them to pray at, for them to know the power of God at. And so we wonder why the family unit in America is in ruins. We wonder why our kids don't want to be in church today. But you see, you can't want something that you don't want at home. And so if they don't want Christ at home, if they're not taught to want Christ at home, what child is going to want to come to church? And so today our children are sitting at home, playing their video games, doing whatever they're doing. Perhaps some are logged in today with us. Praise God for them. But for the most part, they're doing whatever they're doing simply because we don't have an altar in the family home. But you see, it's never going to happen unless we get serious about it. We have people who come to church and don't enter into worship today in the house, probably online. We have men and women who didn't lift their hands, who didn't lift their voice while we sang, and they will blame the worship team. They will blame the acoustics. They will blame the sound system in the building. They will blame the connection on the internet. Well, I just can't sing that way. Well, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'll have to wait till I get back to church. But here's the truth today. I'm going to speak truth. I'm going to disperse those lies today. The truth is you will never be able to enter into anointed worship in the house of God if you have not learned to worship God alone and at home with your family. If you are not having anointed worship at home, don't expect to come to church and have anointed worship. It's not going to happen. You won't come to the altar at God's house if you don't have an altar, a personal worship in your own home. I'm going to go back to Arthur Wallace again in a continuation of that statement that I already read. When our homes and families become the be-all and end-all, and we are prepared to make a spiritual compromise to please them, when some pastime of recreational interest is our absorbing passion, when we are more concerned about our outward appearance than the state of our hearts, when our minds are perpetually full of some material possession or some human ambition, are we not as guilty of idolatry as any Israelite who ever bowed their knee to Baal, to Baal? Only you can answer that for yourself. But I say yes, and I say sorrowfully for God, yes, that is so true of my life. Help me, Lord. Our homes are starving. They're having a famine of God's presence. Our children are living a famine lifestyle of God's presence. We have so many believers leading Christian walks of very lean times. There's nothing to feed them. There's nothing that they can feed themselves. But we can see these same things in Israel's history. We see it all throughout Israel's history. Whenever the people got away from the altar of God, they ended up serving other gods. They got into trouble. They ended up so far from God. It is time, my church family, listen to me today as I close. It is time, my church family, to rebuild the altar of the Lord back up in our homes. It is time for the TV to get shut off and the word of God to be turned on. It is time to turn our trust to the Lord and away from the things of this world. It is time to leave the detour of life and walk in the true way of God's Son. My third point today, and I'm not going to spend much time, I'm actually saying it in closing. The altar is the place from which your ministry flows. I want to encourage all of you in ministries here at our church family today. Listen, I'm so thankful for Brother Glenn who played the guitar today. I'm so thankful for Brother Jose who played the drums today. I'm so thankful for Brother Dave and Ron who are probably in the back making sure that it sounds good, making sure that it's going into your home today. I'm so blessed to have Sister Jen upstairs behind that mic, you know, singing out those acoustics or singing out those vocals today. But I want to encourage all of you in ministry at the church. Worship team, you cannot play an instrument or sing into a mic here at the church unless you have first done so in your personal altar at home. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Bible teachers, youth workers, children's workers, you have no right to speak into the lives of your brothers. You have no right to speak into the lives of your sisters or our children unless you have first allowed God's word to speak into your life during your time at your family altar first this week. When we minister in a ministry, without first taking the time to be ministered to or allowing the Lord to minister in our personal lives, all that we really do is play our instrument. That's all we did today if we didn't first have that play that instrument for the Lord. All we do today is speak something of God's word that really has not had an effect in our own lives first. It has to affect our own lives first. This is why I try to work my messages out on Thursday so that I have Thursday and Friday a personal look into my life of what God is speaking so that I can stand behind the pulpit each and every Sunday and say, "Thus saith the Lord, church." He said it to me first. He worked it in my life first. I'm not standing here as a hypocrite before you today to speak these things. God has done it in my life first. What am I saying? You can't minister to the body of Christ until you first learn to minister to Christ alone. Do you hear what I'm saying today? You see, the altar of our lives deals with our hearts. We have been spending our lives worshiping at too many of the wrong altars. We have been worshiping at the altar of power. We have been worshiping at the altar of money. We have been worshiping at the altar of ambition. We have been worshiping at the altar of beauty. We have been worshiping at the altar of love, the love of worldly things. We have been worshiping at the altar of approval. Church, we need a new heart in 2021. Church, we need a heart that is whole. That we can pray as David did in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to encourage you this morning as I end this message right now. I want to encourage you this morning. Sorry, I hit the pulpit. Everything okay was shaking. It's not an earthquake. Don't worry. I want to encourage you today to build the personal altar of God in your home. If your kids are 10, if they're 4, if they're 2, if they're 12, if they're 17, if they're 24, if they're 32, and they still live at home, then it's not too late to build the altar of God in your family. Yeah, but Pastor, they won't come. Do they live in your home? They'll come. Make them come. Let's build the altar of the family back up in our homes. Let's take that time to shut the television off. Let's take that time to turn a deaf ear to Siri and to everything else in our phones and everything else in Google, and just focus on God, because that's what's most important this year. I'm going to tell you, either you're going to focus yourself on God, or situations and circumstances that are coming against us very quickly are going to cause you to have to focus on God. I don't want to have to focus on God. I want to be focused on God so that when these things come, I'm ready. I'm already praising. I'm already worshiping. I'm already praying and already believing. Hallelujah. Would you do that with me? Would you take the steps this week to build the personal altar of the worship and praise and power of God in your life? Some of you have already done this. You've told me you've cleared a closet. You've cleared a room, you've made a room, whatever you've done to have a place where the family, where you can come together with the Lord and experience his power. Listen, we are never going to experience the power of God in our church services if we first don't experience the power of God in our homes. Because the church is really just us coming from our homes, coming from our personal time with God that week into a corporate service to share together what God has done. That's what church is really about. I can't fire you up on Sunday morning if you're not fired up during the week. I can't encourage you Sunday morning if you're not getting encouragement during the week. I can't do anything this Sunday morning in an hour and a half. There's no song we can sing. There's no way we can sing it. There's no word of God that I can bring forth to do anything in your life if you're not doing anything in your life during the week to make something happen, to see something happen, to expect something to happen. And I can guarantee you, if you all will do that, if we all will do this, then when we come to church every Sunday, our church services look so much different, look so much more dynamic. They truly will be a place where the fire of God falls, and they truly will be a place where we touch the live wire of the presence of the Holy Spirit every time we come together. But it's on you right now, church. It's on you. It's on your home. You are in the place, if you're watching us online, you are in the place where it has to begin. Do something about it today. Let me pray with you.